Me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalm 68. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. To the chief musician, a psalm or song of David. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yah. And rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped, at the presence of God, even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desired to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring again my people, again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after, among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. Rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls, with the calves of the people, till everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old. Lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so this phrase that begins the psalm, I mean, we have a very common psalm title here, to the chief musician, a psalm or song of David. We know what those things mean. So let's move on to our first verse in the English. Let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered, and let them also that hate him flee before him. Okay, so this is a this is an often used phrase. Okay, this is let God arise. It is a statement that we find over and again in the scripture. Moses used it in Numbers chapter 10. David uses it when he brings the Ark of God into Jerusalem in 2 Chronicles. It is one of those things where when we speak of God arising, it is redemptive acts where God goes forward in advance of his glory, or to the advancement of his glory, and before his people to their advancement and salvation. So these are redemptive acts, in other words, that we're seeing here. And so when we hear this phrase, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. Notice in verse 3, but let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. So it's a redemptive statement. And it was used at times in the history of the Old Testament that tied to redemptive acts. And so when the Levites carried up the Ark of the Covenant and marched forward, Moses pronounced, let God arise, or rise up, O Lord, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. And then David did the same thing. So it's a redemptive statement is what I want you to understand. If you look it up, you'll find that that's how it's used throughout the Old Testament. All right, so the first section that I have it is verses 1 through 6. We have notes of God's praiseworthiness. Number one, he is among his people. And this is how you can see how that ark would be representation of that, right? That the ark is in the midst of the people of God, and this was the manifestation of God's covenantal presence with his people. Then this comes to its fullest expression in Christ, who came and tabernacled among us. Right. Okay, so then he scatters his and our enemies is the next note of his praiseworthiness, in that he is known as Jehovah. Remember that Jah or Yah is just an abbreviation for that divine covenant name, and that is where he reveals himself to be the ever-living, promise-keeping, covenant-honoring God. Okay, so it's his special covenantal name. Then notice the scattering of God's enemies and the gladness of the righteous. Then he is tender to those in need. And sixthly, he judges the rebellious. So he's among his people. He scatters his and our enemies. He is known by his redemptive name. It's the gladness of the righteous to know that the enemies of God are scattered. He's tender to those in need, and he judges the rebellious. Those six things David gives as worthy of God's praise. We praise God because of those things. All right, so then in verses 7 through 14, we hear of his redemptive act through the wilderness. Again, let God arise, and he's leading his people. And he leads them through the wilderness. In the march through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens dropped at the presence of God, even Sinai and so forth. He sent a plentiful rain. He refreshed the inheritance when it was weary. The Lord prepared a place for them in the wilderness. He fed them. He fed them with manna. Kings fled before them. We think of Og and Bashan, and then Sihon, even farther north than that. And then we have that though you have lain among the pots, ye shall be as the wings of a dove, covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. What does it mean, although ye have lain among the pots? Well, that's a remembrance of the slavery that they endured in Egypt. Right? They were like those cast out broken pots. Though you've been like that, and that, you know, what was a pot? That was the lowest form of vessel that you could have in the ancient Near East. I mean, think of it. It's made out of mud. You take it, you take mud, you form it into a bowl, and you bake it, and lo and behold, you have a pot. Right? How long did that last? Well, interestingly, when archaeologists go forth now and dig up the remains of ancient civilizations and cities and towns, they date them by the pottery shards that they find in them. At least that's one of the ways that they date them, right? Because why? Pots were always being broken and thrown out and renewed because they were the lowest form of a vessel that you could own. So though you've lain among the pots, that is, you've been like a potsherd in the midst of a field of broken pots, you shall be like doves with wings of silver and touched with gold on the outside. Okay, and silver and gold then were those things that it's really hard to date them, right? You don't really date them. You date the silver and gold from the artwork that appears on it. Silver and gold are rather inert. They don't go away like that. Okay, and then when the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white with snow as in Salmon. In other words, that the Lord caused those kings to be scattered across the ground like you'd see snow strewn about. All right, so we move on to the next section, and that is verses 15 through 21. And here we learn of the greatness and the privilege of the place where God has chosen to place his name. And again, rise up, O God, right? Here he is now. His presence is manifest in Zion. Now, if you've ever studied ancient Near Eastern geography, you realize that Zion is really a complex of two hills that are right next to each other and a short little valley in between them. Okay, elevation of about 2,200 feet above sea level. When you talk about the hill of Bashan or Mount Sirion in Lebanon, you're looking at mountains that are in the 8,000 and 9,000 foot range. Okay, and what would happen? You know, you'd go up to the top of that mountain. I mean, we do that today. We go up to the top of a mountain, we plant a flag, and we boast of our view and the beauty that we see. And people that lived in and around those countries, they would boast of their mountains. Our mountain's taller than your mountain. You know, because taller must be better. Right? Greater, bigger, faster, stronger kind of thing. Okay, so notice what the Lord says here. Why leap ye, ye hills? What do you have to boast about, Bashan? What do you have to boast about, Sirion? This is the hill where God has chosen to place his name. This is the hill of boasting because God lives there. That's what makes a place glorious and praiseworthy or not, whether or not God inhabits it. And so that's the important feature that's being taught there. Why do you leap? What do you have to make merry about? What do you have to celebrate, in other words? You have no reason to rejoice, no reason to leap. There are many societies and fraternities and clubs to which people belong. And loyalty runs high, doesn't it? Patriotism abounds, whether that's a patriotism regarding country or whether it's the club that you belong to. But my dear brothers and sisters, there is no society upon earth that has the boasting rights, the rejoicing rights, the glorying rights, except the place where God has chosen to place his name. This is the place where God has chosen to set his name. And so we might say, why leap ye, ye other organizations? Why leap ye, you little societies? This is the place where God has chosen to put his name. Right? Okay, so then note that when the Lord goes to war, he is well armed. He does not return empty-handed. He always carries with him the spoils of war. Right? Thou hast ascended up on high. Again, rise up, O Lord. Thou hast ascended up on high, given gifts to men, even for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. And it's an interesting way that the Apostle Paul makes use of this. He sees this as a prophecy of Jesus Christ. We're going to take his word for it because he's an inspired apostle. So he's quoting from Psalm 68 when we come to Ephesians chapter 4. Thou hast ascended up on high, thou hast led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And what are those gifts that Jesus Christ has given? Five of them, right? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those five gifts. For the gathering and perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God in its purity. Okay, so notice that in this passage, where this same idea is preached and where Paul adapts it, it's still the same idea that even the rebellious will be gathered by these gifts. They will be gathered and they will be brought into Zion where the Lord dwells, that he might dwell among them as well. Right? It's through the preaching of the gospel then that we have the rebellious dwelling among the people of God, no longer those who are rebellious. And then finally, blessed is the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. He is our God, the God of our salvation. Then in verse 21, closing out that section, God shall wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The word still there is a good translation out of the Hebrew, and it means those who persist even after warning, even after admonition. And we see this in the New Testament, that even among the people of God, there are those who go on still in their trespasses. Paul will write of a person like that in Titus chapter 3 and verse 10, where he says what? An heretic, after a first and second admonition, reject, knowing that such a one is, that he sinneth and is self-condemned. Okay. So we move on then. Verse 22, I have that just kind of standing alone, 22 and 3. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring again my people from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. Okay, so thy people will be brought again from the depths of the sea. This is an allusion to the Red Sea, to the redemption of God, bringing them through the Red Sea on dry land. And in order that they might be able to see, notice, the destruction of their enemies. Notice that they are not affecting it, but they are able to witness it. That's the point that's being brought up there. Did the Israelites slay the Egyptians in the Red Sea? No. The Lord took care of their enemies, didn't he? Okay, so then what do I have here? 24 through 31, we have the goings of God in the sanctuary. Once again, it's another rising up of the Lord. But this time he is rising up, going forth, if you will, in the sanctuary. That is in the public worship. And it is the public worship where God advances his estate, his kingdom. It is in the public worship where God subdues those enemies to himself, where he redeems the rebellious and so on. So he goes forth in the ordinances of worship. This is where he stretches out his mighty saving arm. He has chosen the foolishness of preaching, the voice of psalms, the prayers, and the sacraments of the church as means by which he goes forth. It is in these things, especially in the preaching of the word, that the strongholds of false ideas are cast down in the reasonings of men, the heretical and erroneous notions of the natural man. So, there is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and the council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Why are these tribes mentioned and not the rest? Well, there's some conjecture on that. Let me give you what I think is the right view. First of all, we know that Judah is the lawgiver, so Judah always takes precedence in discussions like these. The smallest tribe is Benjamin. The least notable was Zebulun, and Naphtali was those who strove. That's what Naphtali means, strivings. And when Jacob blesses them, he talks about their continuing strivings. So then we have even the most unlikely of folks that are brought to heal unto the Lord. They are there. The Lord is in the midst of them with Benjamin, with Judah, with Zebulun, and with Naphtali. And then notice also that it's far beyond the land of Palestine. And so Ethiopia, even that proud nation of the continent of Africa toward the south of Egypt. Even they will stretch out their hands to God, and princes shall also come out of Egypt. And this would have been, different or dissonant to the ears of the Israelite, because Egypt was the ancient enemy. Ethiopia was a mighty and well-respected nation for its prowess and warlike ability, but notice they are coming and being subdued unto the Lord. And then finally, what do we have at the end? Exactly what we would expect. We end with a general praise and summation of all that has been said in the psalm. So sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises unto the Lord, to him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old. And whenever you hear him riding upon the heavens of heavens, notice that the heavens of heavens, that means it's over the whole earth. It's not just over the sky above, Jerusalem. Above Palestine. It's over the whole world. It's the whole earth that is being recognized there. Ascribe strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel. His strength is in the clouds. Thou art terrible out of thy holy places. So it is that same praise that finishes out the psalm. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.